Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the seven group winners competing for the best in show at the 139th Westminster Dog Show.
I want to dedicate this award for my fellow Mexicans, the ones who live in Mexico.
We say that Selma is now because the struggle for justice is right now. We live in the most incarcerated country in the world, and march on.
To every woman who gave birth, to every taxpayer and citizen of this nation, we have fought for everybody else's equal rights. It's our time to have equal rights for women in the United States of America.
Observations of a man from another planet. This is the Savage Nation. I seem to be living on my own planet. I certainly do not live on planet Hollywood. How about you? Just play this song, because I don't know what world they're in. They're not on my planet. Oscar is dead. The statue died. The icon is dead. The golden idol died last night. Can you imagine this? A woman's rights speech in the most woman-centric nation on planet Earth. A speech about suicide and being different. A song that brings up Ferguson and distorts the reality. A speech about black people being treated unfairly. With a black president, a black attorney general, a black head of DHS, a speech about the disrespect for immigrants, a speech about the overreach of the NSA, speeches about diseases. This may have been the most warped Oscar show ever. You know, when it comes to giving awards to movies, Hollywood gives them out according to what acceptable statement is made to that community. The rest of America rewards movies with their dollars, with their behinds in a seat. So let's look at what Americans think of the best picture nominees for the Oscars as compared to the psychotics who run Hollyweird. American Sniper, $320 million box office domestic alone. It got one Oscar for sound editing. Birdman, $38 million. It got four Oscars because it was about a victim. Boyhood, $25 million, one Oscar because it was about another victim. The Imitation Game, $84 million, one Oscar because it was about another victim. Selma, $49 million because it was about another victim. Whiplash, $11 million, three Oscars. No one knows what it's about. The Theory of Everything, about another victim, $34 million, even though it only grossed $34 million, it got one Oscar. So what's the final analysis? America voted for American Sniper by paying $320 million for that movie. And all the other seven crybaby movies earned $300 million combined. 15 Oscars to one, and American Sniper got one Oscar. And just look at the topics. America overwhelming went to see a movie about an American hero. But Hollywood gave their top award to a movie about themselves. And other topics? The civil rights movement, like it's still ongoing, and, oh, everyone's oppressed except the white heterosexual Christian male. An abusive music teacher, a man dealing with ALS and how it affects his love life. A genius persecuted because he's gay. The difficulty of adolescence. And of course, the highbrow comedy you're probably too dumb to get. And there was Patricia Arquette, who was a has-been when she began, and now she's a never-been, with this breathless speech about women being oppressed in America, in the most woman-centric nation on planet Earth. And what makes it worse is they use a platform that millions watch to lecture us about what morons we are and how unfair and racist and bigoted we all are. John Legend and Common's performance of Glory from the movie Selma smacked us in the face with an ad lib perpetuating the provably false story about walking through Ferguson with their hands up. That's the biggest lie there is. That's agitprop. And while accepting the award for best song, Legend actually claimed that Selma is going on today. Patricia Arquette lectured us about another provably false story about wage inequality. then talked about it being time for equal rights for women. This is in the United States of America, while ISIS is capturing women and selling them into slavery. This lunatic fringe mentioned nothing about the Islamo-fascists who are throwing gays off roofs, killing women, enslaving children, killing Christians, burning churches. Women don't have equal rights. That's the biggest problem in America, isn't it? Well, maybe Patricia Arquette, whoever she is, can lead us by example and share her millions with the other struggling actresses that never will take the stage in an award show to complain about the unfairness of it all. And, of course, it was topped off with the winner of Best Director, Alejandro Iñárritu, accepting the Oscar for Best Picture to remind us that immigrants built this country and we should just accept it. Of course, leaving out that many are here illegally, and those who built America were here legally. The ratings for this year's Oscars are way down from last year, from 43 million viewers in 2014, all the way down to 34 million viewers this year. Now, that's a big drop. It was dropping like the temperature on the East Coast as the night wore on. Maybe the disconnect is finally showing itself after all this time. Maybe the American people are finally getting tired of being lectured to by a bunch of nuts about things they know little to nothing about. Maybe they'll look at the success of American Sniper and the Hollyweirdos will give us what we're looking for. Movies that make us proud to be Americans. Perhaps that's Michael Savage's pipe dream. And we may instead continue to see the freak show in front of us. But most of us are just not going to pay to see it anymore. All right, my friend, strike up the band. Let's have some music. The phone number is 855-407-282. The music I want to hear is You're a Thousand Miles Away for one reason or another. Now, this is the backdrop to all of this is gays are being thrown off roofs by ISIS. Women are being abused and turned into cattle by ISIS. Minority women are being enslaved and sold on the auction block by ISIS. Children are being turned into slaves by ISIS. And now we learn today that the new ISIS video that just came out shows an indoctrination of children as young as 5 years old with weapons, drilling, and reciting verses from the Quran. Perhaps Obama can say that they're not Muslims. The 9-minute video released Monday shows about 70 camouflage-clad children who are reportedly the children of foreign fighters who have flocked to Iraq and Syria to join the Islamo-fascist army and instruct the states in Arabic that most of the children are in the second phase of training and that they represent the next generation of ISIS. Really? Is that right? That didn't make it into the Oscar show last night. And so what they're saying is that you may kill us, but we have another generation waiting to kill you. Which leads us to one conclusion. And I'm pretty much sure that most of you can follow the logic. You can follow the bouncing ball. And that is the hell with collateral damage. Because otherwise you're going to be collateral damage. You're going to be roadkill if you let these lunatics who are running America and their cousins who are running Hollywood and their sisters and brothers who are running the media to continue to lead us astray. That's why I talked about Oscar is dead. Now, I open with a piece from the dog show because, frankly, you got to listen to this because God's honest truth. I didn't watch the dog show because I tuned in when there was only 2 minutes left and it was an ad for toothpaste. And then I didn't watch the Oscars except once. I saw this simpering guy. I didn't know who he was. I wasn't interested in him. I tuned in again for another 30 seconds and turned it off. It was of no interest to me. But the guys who worked for me did watch it. They said, Savage, you got to listen to this stuff. This is what won. I said, you're kidding me. American Sniper, which makes $320 million, they threw a little tiny award at it for sound editing. Yeah, well, what do you expect from Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Weinstein? Do you expect Weinstein, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Batzenberg? Do you expect them to love the military when they hate the military? Do you expect them to love American heroes when they hate American heroes? Do you expect them to love this? No. No, of course not. I don't expect a miracle. I don't live expecting miracles. Not at all. But the Westminster Dog Show, I think they're replaying it tonight. I intend to catch it. And let's hear clip number three, the Best in Show winner. I want to hear who won the dog show.
Best in Show this evening will be judged by the Honorable David C. Merriam of Bonsall, California.
My Bonsall? Choice for the Best in Show.
Go on.
Yeah. Is the Beagle.
The Beagle! Oh, come on, stop it. That's so PC. Giving a Beagle a Best in Show is the equivalent of giving awards to these idiots who got these awards. The Beagle isn't the best in the show. The Beagle is an out-of-date breed to begin. What can ever be good about a Beagle? A Beagle's a Beagle. It's like giving an award to a bagel with four legs. A bagel with four legs would be the equivalent of giving it to a Beagle. They're far more elegant dogs than a Beagle. Unbelievable. So let me hear clip two again. Big announcer voice. That's what I really like the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the seven group winners competing for the best in show at the 139th Westminster Dog Show. The winner of the working group, Portuguese Water Dog, number 27. The winner of the sporting group, English Springer Spaniel, number 33. The winner of the hound group, 15-inch Beagle, number 32. Winner of the non-sporting group, Standard Poodle, number 30.
Yay!
Winner of the herding group, Old English Sheepdog, number 15. The winner of the terrier group, Sky Terrier, number 8. The winner of the toy group, Shih Tzu, number 16.
I don't have ugly faces. I don't like those dogs, the Shih Tzus. I don't like, look like their faces were kicked in. I don't understand why people like them. I'm not into ugly dogs. I mean, who would get a dog that looks ugly and horrible? I don't understand people who like those dogs. I truly don't. Robert, I know you don't have a dog, but would you get a dog where it looks like a face that was pushed in? I wouldn't. I feel bad for it. It looks like it needs reconstructive surgery. Why would the Chinese make such a big deal about a Shih Tzu with a face like that? If you can have a guard dog, get a guard dog, you know, get a wolfhound or something in your bed. Well, I guess you don't want to share a bed with six wolfhounds. I can understand why you want little Shih Tzus in the bed covers instead. You know, those were they were guard dogs for the wealthy in ancient China, and they made a lot of sense because if you slept with 10 of them in your bedroom on your silken bed, if you had a fearless, stealthy assassin or two enter your bed chamber, think about it. I met an assassin once on a plane to London. Should I tell you the story or not? And what he told me about it, or should I tease them and tell it after the break? He told me something about why little dogs are better for house protection than big dogs. And I'll be right back to tell you when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
It is snowing and it's icing.
I turned it off already. I got a migraine. What a bad weekend. Allergies. So the thing is, there's an ice storm in Dallas. My crew is sitting in there. No one's in the building but them. The East Coast is freezing to death. And the global warming marchers are marching on somewhere. I don't know where they are, but they're plotting their next move, waiting for the sun to come out. So before the break, we talked about dogs. The dogs of Hollywood. The Westminster Kennel Club show and the Shih Tzu. And I was mentioning to you, and I promised that I would tell you the story. It's another one of those snippets from my life. I was on a flight to London many years ago when I used to fly places, when I used to go places. I was on the way to Israel, I think, for some reason. I don't remember the reason. It was a long time ago. And it was one of those days when planes were still half empty or three quarters empty. And there were huge 747s out of New York. One of these long flights to Israel. To London, rather. I was on the way to Israel, right. And it was empty where you could sleep in the back on a whole row. Remember those days where you could actually sleep in a row in the back? Unbelievable. So I took a row to myself. And at the time, for some weird reason, I was wearing all black, black pants, black Chinese jacket. It was fashionable. And I was wearing black martial arts shoes. I don't know why. It was an outfit I wore on the flight for some reason. So I struck up a conversation with a guy, tall, reasonably nice-looking American, rough, not like friendly Joe, next-door neighbor type, American guy. One word leads to another, and he starts to tell me, he was probably coked out of his head for all I know, because he started telling me things he shouldn't have told me. I don't know his name, of course. So he starts telling me, you know, the best place to hide drugs on an airplane, he's telling me. I said, what? He's inside the bathroom, he tells me. He shows me you can pull paddles out and put drugs there. I said, well, how do you get them? He said, well, you leave them for the baggage handler. I said, well, thank you for telling me. I had no idea why he was telling me all of this. So you figure there's another guy with stories. Are you listening? Flight to them, lots of drinks, beer. About an hour later into the flight, we're over the Atlantic, and he starts telling me about assassins. And the reason that little dogs are better guard dogs when you have a bunch of them is because if an assassin enters your house in the middle of the night, he can't see those dogs coming at him, biting at him, jumping at him. You understand what I'm saying? They're like rats jumping at him from all different angles. And he said a big guard dog can be shot because it's the size of a person. I never thought of that. I mean, honest to God. There's no punchline to that story. It's like, okay, leaves you cold. But, Robert, did you ever hear such a story like this? No. No, you see, that's right. That's the thing of working for old Doc Savage. Is you get information every day, and there's something new every day, and you learn something new every day. And that's why I said Oscar is dead. I declare Oscar dead today. You hear? A woman's rights speech by a breathless actress who was a has-been when she began. That's in the most woman-centric nation on the planet. Not one word about women being enslaved in Iraq and Syria by the vermin. Nothing, not one word. I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is the world I live in. That's why I was playing 1,000 miles away. Now, I have a real treat for you. How do I blow through a stop set like this? I had 5 minutes between the break and now. It's already 30 seconds left. Because I'm the most natural storyteller in the history of radio. No one, I get looked because it's real. I start to talk. Before I know it, the time is up. I have a treat for you. 12:22:11, I interviewed Chris Kyle, the American sniper on the Savage Nation. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Long before the book was famous. My then publisher, Harper Collins, had sent me the book. They actually asked me to write a blurb about it, which I didn't do. Darn. But I don't have the interview. I only have my questions to Chris Kyle, which I'll play for you when I come back. You're not going to believe my questions. You'll see how good they are.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stand down, please. So back in December of 2011, my then publisher, HarperCollins, fine organization, they published my trickle books, was just about to publish American Sniper by Chris Kyle, and they sent me the manuscript. They asked me to write a blurb. I didn't have the time, honestly. But I interviewed Chris Kyle on my radio show. But through time and the change of networks, all that I have remaining of this interview is my side of the conversations, which is me asking Chris Kyle about his book, American Sniper. And before I play it, I'm going to put out an appeal to my vast listenership. If anyone out there is a Savage aficionado and had, by some chance, recorded this interview, I don't know, you know, at the time, who knows what people do. I can't find it on YouTube. I know where a copy exists, but it's tied up in the courts. Even though it was assigned to me, all of my archival tapes, I won in my legal battles over the years. I still have not had resolution owing to the corrupt court system. So one day I'll have all of this. If anyone out there has a copy of me interviewing Chris Kyle, would you please telephone us at 855-407-282, and I guarantee you you'll get a free donut. But let's listen to my questions and see if they're any good. Go ahead, please.
The Navy SEALs are some of the best men in uniform that America has. Obama may have taken credit for killing Osama bin Laden, but these brave men and women are the ones who deserve the credit. I should say brave men. I don't know of any women in the SEALs, so let's stop the PC already. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, author of American Sniper, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. military history. Chris Kyle, thank you for your service. You're a true American hero, and welcome to the Savage Nation. What made you decide to write this book? Would you tell my audience on the Savage Nation some of your best and worst experiences as a combat sniper? What made you decide to join the Navy SEALs? Well, I know you can't give us the details, but can you describe what the most dangerous mission you ever were on? While serving in Ramadi, you learned that you had a bounty put on your head. Tell us about that. Well, what effect did your extremely dangerous job have on your family? Chris Kyle, Merry Christmas, and thank you for your service to the nation. And thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation. And good luck with your book, American Sniper.
Amazing. 12-22-2011. Well, I wish we could get the whole interview. If anyone has it, give us a ring at 855-407-282. And talk about gangsters. Comcast accused of paying off Al Sharpton in a $20 billion racial discrimination lawsuit. You thought Al Capone was dead. You thought Al Capone died of syphilis in a prison. Well, today Comcast and Time Warner were served with a lawsuit from a group of African-American media owners seeking $20 billion, yes, billion with a B, for so-called discriminatory practices. And it alleges that Al Sharpton and his organizations received big dollars to look the other way. The suit filed by the National Association of African-American-owned Media and obtained by The Hollywood Reporter claims that despite touting itself as a diverse company, Comcast and TWC only carries one channel owned by a black media owner and refuses to carry any others. Furthermore, the diversity Comcast presents, including the hiring of minority personalities such as Sharptongue, and including a memorandum of understanding they signed with the NAACP and Sharpton's National Urban League, is a sham undertaken to whitewash Comcast discriminatory business practices. This is what they say, the Al Capones of the world. The lawsuit specifically targets Comcast practices. And so far, they argue, only one channel in Comcast lineup, the Africa Channel, is owned by a black person. And that person facilitated Comcast's purchase of NBC Universal, thus creating a, quote, serious conflict of interest. And speaking of that purchase, the suit alleges that Comcast paid off Sharpton, an employee of MSNBC, to support that acquisition, specifically to say that Comcast was an awesomely diverse company. The lawsuit goes on to say that Comcast made large cash donations to obtain support for its acquisition. The money includes $3.8 million to Al Sharpton and his so-called National Action Network. The money it's charged was meant to pay Sharpton to endorse the NBCU deal and divert attention away from discrimination. As far as Sharpton's MSNBC failed show, the complaint says, blah, 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 despite the notoriously low ratings that Sharpton's illiterate show generates, Comcast has allowed Sharpton to maintain his hosting position for more than 3 years in exchange for Sharpton's continued public support for Comcast on issues of diversity. See, this is how it's done today. Don't you understand? In the old days, the mobs would throw bricks through a window and then come in and tell you that they'll offer you protection. And if you didn't go for that, they'd throw a bomb through your window. They don't have to do that anymore. Now they put themselves in the window and put a camera on themselves. That's the world we live in, where shakedowns are legal, and it's done in the name of diversity. 855-407-282. What a world we're living in, huh? Now, I have some great sound for you. Speeches from the Academy, Nun Awards, songs. What else do we have, Robert? We have great stuff. Did you hear some of the news? The police in New York have been instructed to close their eyes and take deep breaths in times of stress when confronting a violent individual. Did you hear this? I swear to God, I'm not making this up. This came from the New York Post. Cops should take a deep breath and close their eyes when dealing with angry people, according to the NYPD's new retraining program under the communist Sandinista-loving lunatic Bill DiBlodio. The potentially dangerous advice is part of a $35 million smart policing primer by Mayor Bill DiBlodio and Police Commissioner Bill Bratwurst. And most cops who have gone through it say it's completely useless. You know, Bill Bratwurst, they'd be better off with Bill Bratwurst as the head of the police commission than Bill Bratton. He doesn't represent the police. A piece of Bratwurst would do a better job. One cop who sat through two full-day programs called them not realistic and pretty silly. At one point during the lectures, the cop said, those in attendance were given breathing exercises to learn how to calm down when confronting a dangerous individual, even when facing someone posing a threat to the cop. The lecturer said that if you find yourself in a situation that's getting heated, just step back, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. I wonder what feminist taught that to the cops. See, I would suggest that they take the trainers and put them on the streets of New York for one day. Take some of these feminist lunatics, some of these diversity gangsters, some of these anti-police vermin, put them on the streets of New York for a day and tell them to breathe deeply when confronting a lunatic with a gun. Another cop called the lecture smoke and mirrors to appease the public. They want you to stop and think about everything before you do anything. But a lot of times cops have to make a split-second decision, and they don't have the luxury of stopping and thinking, the cop said. No kidding. Do you know the first rule of warfare? Don't hesitate. Did you know that? It goes back to the age of to the Stone Age. If you read about the Vikings training, when they were training young people how to go into battle, the first rule was never hesitate, because if you do, the other man won't and kill you. He'll kill you. Everybody knows that in combat, he who hesitates is not lost, he's dead. It's unbelievable to me what's happened to this country. I have a friend who is, you'll hear more about him over the coming months. He's a colonel, retired colonel, five wars, Vietnam through the latest war. Entered the military in 1963, exited in 2005. He's a fine doctor and a musician as well, and he's one of my closest friends. He's a hero of mine, and I don't have too many heroes. In fact, I fictionalized him in three of my novels. The first one was Abuse of Power, the second was A Time for War, and the third one is coming out in a few months from St. Martin's Press. Again, he's fictionalized in it. His character's name is Doc. And again, Abuse of Power, A Time for War, and the third in the series will be this spring, called Countdown to Mecca by St. Martin's Press. So Doc so impressed me as an all-around nice guy, a fun guy. I mean, when you say military, you think of a certain type of personality. He's not that kind of personality. He's kind of the opposite of it. And you'll learn more about what I mean by that. He's a very, very widely experienced individual, doctor on treks. So he was in the military all these years, and he told me what's happened. He told me when he first started training for Vietnam in the 60s, the men who were teaching him were Korean and World War II veterans who taught them how to use bayonets to cut the other man's guts out in a hand-to-hand combat situation. And he said to me last night, he said, Michael, do you know they don't even teach bayonet training anymore because they're afraid of hurting the enemy? He said, we can't win any wars, which is why we're not fighting ISIS. He said, forget troops on the ground. He said, who are they going to send over there? He said, these boys have not even been trained to kill. They're scared to death, most of them. That's what he said to me. He didn't say all of them. He said, the people who were training them don't know how to fight. That's what's happened to the military under Barack Obama, but it didn't start with him. It's liable to end with him, though. If Barack Obama continues destroying the military, we'll wind up with the equivalent of the Portuguese military in another 2 years. They put women who can't fight in charge of men who were supposed to fight. The Secretary of the Air Force never flew a Piper Cub. The Secretary of the Navy can't fly drive a rowboat. This is what he's doing to this country. And you wonder why ISIS is rampaging across the globe, huh? There's a reason for everything. There's a reason for everything under the sun. Anyway, you're going to hear more about my good friend Doc as the months go on. Maybe I'll have him on the show a few times. He reminds me of a real living Clint Eastwood, rather than being a movie star. He's actually a person. In fact, right after this show, I'm going to meet him, and he's going to show me his photo collection, going back to Vietnam, of battlefield scenes of the dead, the dying, the destroyed equipment. And I'm going to do it for a reason, because I may help him have those photographs in his story see the light of day. It'll take him from fiction to nonfiction. And in this case, it'll be life imitating art, because it was first art imitating life. So we'll turn it around for the audience out there. There's very few good stories out there, and the real ones are the best. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, here we are. They're trying to teach the police to hesitate now in New York. Not enough of them were killed for the vermin on the Solenterates on the left. I won't use the word vermin anymore. It's too charged a word. We'll call them Solenterates instead. A Solenterate is a worm. It's an animal without a backbone. So that's my new definition of the psycho-liberals from you-know-where. We call them Solenterates around here in these parts. So here we are. I don't know what I want to talk about right now. I don't know if I'm ready to go into the heavy calls and the sound. I'm still warming up. It's a Monday. The weather is for you-know-what. The East Coast is freezing. People just cannot believe it. And I say, wait a minute. Excuse me. It's February. That's usually a heavy winter month. When I grew up, it used to snow in February. They were like snow days. And, of course, on the West Coast, there's just shivering here like, oh, look at that. It didn't rain for 2 months, and we had a drought and global warming. Then it rained like Noah's Ark. Oh, we got floods because of global warming. The psychos have it both ways. Both ways they have an answer for you. And we, the people, have to sit and put up with this garbage because we have a liar in the White House. So why do you think there's such division in the country? Why do you think liars are now prevalent? Why do you think racketeers are now able to get away with shaking people down over civil rights lies? Tell me why. Because a fish rots from the head down. That's all. What else do you want to know? Well, this is one man's opinion. It's my truth. Let me tell you another story. It's another true story. It's based in a restaurant. You know, a lot of my life revolves around food, as you well know, but I don't know whose life doesn't revolve around food, even if it's the avoidance of food. You know, there are some people for whom food is not important. Well, life, for them, life revolves around not eating. Avoid. Do you ever think about that? All animals, their life revolves around food. Did you know that? To have and have not. And then there are human beings who want to be skinny. I understand that. And their life revolves around rejecting food. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't hate it. But I'm different. I'm a New Yorker. To me, food is the centerpiece of my life. Well, not exactly, but it's a family show. It's one of the most important parts of my sensual life is what I eat, and the food better be good. But I'll just take a quick break in a minute. I got to tell you something. Like, one of my favorite things to do is throw used bread to the seagulls off my house, off my deck. I live on a seawall. Let me put it to you that way. I don't live in the water. I'm not on a boat, but I'm 15 feet from the bay. I live on a seawall, in essence. And on the seawall is a deck, right? And we got birds on the roofs. Not on mine, because I put spikes that they can't be on my roof anymore. I don't like the banging around. I don't like the crapping on my roof. So they're on my neighbor's roofs. And they become sort of pets of mine, because they know I'm the food guy. My dogs know I'm the food guy. The seagulls know I'm the food guy. I'm sort of like not the Birdman of Alcatraz. I'm the Seagull Man of San Francisco. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It's 55 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation, and boy, do we have a surprise for you. I knew this would happen. I knew it. I prayed for it. It happened. Remember I just played for you my interview, my side of the interview with Chris Kyle, the American Sniper, back in 2011? And I said we don't have the other side of it, even though the court awarded it to me. It's being held up in the courts. And I wonder if any of my listeners have the 12/22/2011 interview with the American Sniper author Chris Kyle. Guess what? During the break, one of my loyal listeners, he says his name is Joe Seal. I don't know if that's a real name, because I'm going to send him a couple of books as a reward, maybe some Sherry's berries, some flowers, you know, whatever I have to send this guy. He's got it for me, and we're going to have it for you in the next hour. Would you believe this? It's one of the rare interviews with Chris Kyle done before he was shot dead at that gun range in that tragic, horrendous homicide. And it's because of my listeners like you. I didn't tell you this food story about seagulls, about the gay professor in the restaurant who loves my show, the steak pizzaiola. I didn't tell you any of that. All coming up right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how I hear Blue Monday.
Blue Monday, yeah, fast.
Got to work, plan to sleep all day.
You know, if there is a heaven, there is a heaven. Heaven would be being able to eat all of the greasy ribs, pork ribs in the world without having your cholesterol go up, and drink as much beer as you possibly could drink and not getting sick or drunk. And that would be on Beale Street in Memphis. The guys are jumping up and down in the studio. Welcome to hour number two of the Savage Nation. Oscars, kennel show, dog show, food stories, seagulls, steak. And a real treat, a really, really, really big treat for you. I told you what would happen. I have the most loyal audience in the talk radio hemisphere. Actually, the talk radio sphere, not hemisphere, because that would be half the world. And I found my interview with Chris Kyle, the American Sniper, God rest his soul. I only found my side of the interview, 12/22/2011, and I said, somebody out there loves me. Somebody has recorded this show. We have two listeners who have it. We're going to have it for you today on the Savage Nation at the bottom of the hour. That's right. We found it. And we're going to run the one from Joe Seals for the Savage Chris Kyle interview. I can't wait to hear it. I mean, I want to hear it myself. That shows you what good show this is going to be. But before we get to all of that stuff, including food stuff, I want to play for you a little opening we put together, which combines the madness of our times right now on the Savage Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the seven group winners competing for the best in show at the 139th Westminster Dog Show.
I want to dedicate this award for my fellow Mexicans, the ones who live in Mexico.
We say that Selma is now because the struggle for justice is right now. We live in the most incarcerated country in the world. And march on.
To every woman who gave birth, to every taxpayer and citizen of this nation, we have fought for everybody else's equal rights. It's our time to have equal rights for women in the United States of America.
The most woman-centric nation on the planet. Here we have this fraudulent actress who was a has-been when she was a bin, and she's up there believing her own rhetoric, like Obama. She's actually crying over the fact that women are oppressed in America, while the real oppression of women, which is raping, murdering, slaughtering, selling them into slavery, is not even mentioned by this breathless fraud during the Academy Awards. Which leads me to the president. My latest newsletter says, if Obama really believes what he said about Islam, he's insane. Now, why am I so blunt? Well, because the truth hurts. Did you hear this? In today's issue, Obama addressed the White House summit on violent extremism late last week and was roundly applauded while he claimed, quote, Islam has been woven into the fabric of America since its founding. Dr. Savage scoffed at the idea, joking, I didn't know Ben Franklin was flying that kite for Allah. If Obama believes what he said about Islam, he's insane, Savage told his audience. At the White House summit, he said Islam has been woven into the fabric of America since its founding? Really? I didn't know that George Washington was secretly a Muslim. I didn't know Ben Franklin was flying that kite for Allah. Even Betsy Ross, did you know she had a burqa hidden underneath the floorboards? I didn't know any of these people were secretly Muslims. I guess I'm a product of my racist upbringing. All we have left, my friends, is ridicule and sarcasm. I agree with Rudy Giuliani, by the way. Obama doesn't love America. He wants to transform it into a socialist, Islamist version of the United States. So if you want to get copies of The Wit and Wisdom of Michael Savage, it's simple, it's cheap, it's actually so cheap it's free. You go to michaelsavage.com and you click on Get the Newsletter, and three times a week it comes into your inbox. Bingo, that's it. But what do you think about this woman rights speech with the crybaby Arquette? I don't even know who she is. Which one is this, the mother or the daughter, Arquette? Robert, do you know? One of the daughters. And is she still an actress or she was an actress? She is. But she's a has-been, right? Yeah, has-been. That's why she gave the crybaby speech about women's rights. In the most women-centric nation on planet Earth, while real women are being raped and sold into slavery, she's crying about women's rights in America. A speech about suicide and being different. A song that brings up Ferguson, Missouri and distorts reality. A speech about black people being treated unfairly during the time when we have our first black president, first attorney general. And many blacks running major departments, including Department of Homeland Security. Everywhere you turn, a minority's running something, and still racism, that's all you hear. Another speech about how we disrespect illegal aliens. Then speeches about disease and victimhood. This may have been the most craven Oscars event ever, which is, I said last night, Oscar is dead. American Sniper grosses $320 million domestic. All the other movies together grossed $300 million. And what did they give American Sniper? What did Weinstein and Company? One little award for sound editing. Thanks, Harvey. When they came for the conservatives, I did not raise my voice because I was not a conservative, Harvey. Remember that one? When they came for the right-wingers, I did not raise my voice because I was not a right-winger. When they came for the Christians, I didn't raise my voice, saith Harvey, because I am not a Christian. And when they came for me, there was no one left to protect me, Harvey. Hey, Harvey, I know you're smart and I know you're big, but I don't think you know jack about history, Harvey. And here's a little note from history, Harvey, and the boys in Hollywood. Those who do not know their history, Harvey, are condemned to repeat it. So I suggest you bone up, you boneheads, on American history and the history of the world, boneheads. This is the Savage Nation. I approve of my monologue. I saw an interesting article over the weekend. Will it take the end of the world for Obama to recognize ISIS as Islamic? Take a guess who wrote it. Michael Savage? Oh, no. No, don't turn that dial. Take a guess who wrote, will it take the end of the world for Obama to recognize ISIS as Islamic? You know who wrote it? A liberal Muslim feminist journalist. Asra Q. Nomani and Hala Arafa, God bless them, they're the bravest women in the world. It was published in a daily Muslim feminist journalist who reject the vision of the Islamic State. We can say that the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, and the alphabet soup of Islamic militant groups like HUM and LET rely very much on the scholarship of religious leaders who very much have credibility and authority among too many Muslims as religious leaders, but they're not religious leaders. But she said, never forget that they are Islamic. And unless you identify them as such, you can't defeat them, which is the problem itself. Fabulous article. And it shows the direct link between all the terrorist groups and the Quran, let alone not Islam itself. Written not by Michael Savage, but you liberal moron idiots whose heads are in the sand. Written by liberal Muslim feminist journalists who are trying to warn you about the danger you're in because of Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and Fox News. You know, Fox News has moved so far to the left. I watched it the other night. I don't have the time. I couldn't believe what I was watching. They're parsing the truth now about everything to do with illegal immigrants and about everything to do with radical Islam. I couldn't believe what I was listening. What in the world has happened to that network? I pretty much know what's happened to that network, but all I can say is it's getting worse and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I want to thank Joe Seals for the Savage Chris Kyle interview, which will play at the bottom of the hour. I've not taken one call today, have I, Robert? Nope. It's been a call-free day, and I apologize for it because it's a brand-new format. And when I called you, I forgot what I asked for. Name, station, and topic. I just had Halfheimer's here on the show. I forgot what I was supposed to ask. So let's go to line number two. Go ahead, please. Name your station and topic.
I wasn't sure what line. Is it me?
Okay, next case. Everybody, hello? Hello? Manny? Manny, is that you calling from heaven, Manny? Are you still living up there in heaven? Okay, here we go again. When I call your name, name, station, topic. I'm only going to call your number. Okay, please, don't say, Manny, is it, am I on? Am I on, Manny? Is my number up in the deli? Line number seven, fire away, go ahead. Another one. Go ahead. What is this? Another dud. I said two in a row. Okay, we have to go to screen calls. We're getting the real winners today. I guess the blizzard or something, the cold, something's getting them. Okay, we'll shoot for a third one. Then we're going to go to screen calls if I can't get an answer out of anyone. Line number eight. 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 You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Line eight.
Steve Jacobs, KSFO, San Francisco.
Thank God. So the people in San Francisco are now smarter than those in New York. Thank God. Go ahead, please.
How'd I do? I did all right on the intro so far.
Go ahead.
All right, I got a son who's graduating from an Ivy League school this May, and I just found out that the speaker at his commencement will be Samantha Power.
Oh, God.
And they're giving an honorary degree to her husband, Cass Sunstein.
The commie. It's some duo they got there, huh?
And what do? I mean, I want to be there for my son, but...
Maybe you can bring an extra pair of shoes and throw them at the speaker's platform.
Yeah, maybe.
No, what you can do is look, you don't want to embarrass your son. Let me start with that. He'll never forgive you. I made the error of going to my daughter's high school graduation and walking out when they hired some loser from NPR to give the speech. He was giving such garbage, I couldn't take it. So I booed him and walked out. She never forgave me for it because they don't want to be embarrassed. That's the truth.
Absolutely.
So what you do is, I have a whole lowdown on Cass Sunshine, Sunstein, whatever, and his lifetime anti-Americanism, in my opinion, and this thing of his, the wife thing, and what she really is. These are nightmarish academic left-wing fanatics who are going to kill all of us unless we understand what they're doing to us. I'm going to send you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny where I describe Sunstein and company. That's all you can do. And what you do is you go, maybe when they speak, you get up and leave and then come back. Can you do that?
Well, I have to, you know, take into consideration, like you said at the beginning, that I don't want to embarrass my son.
All right, then what are you going to do? Then bring sound cancellation headphones, like on an airplane.
Maybe I'll put some headphones in and listen to my iPhone.
Yeah, why don't you bring an iPhone and listen to me during the speeches?
Yeah.
And then turn it off after the commies are through. The America-hating commies are finished.
There you go. That's an idea.
What a bunch of slime these people are. This is not just a difference of opinion. This is me dealing with anti-American slime that is killing us at every level. And look how they've taken over academia. They give themselves degrees, no less. It's like giving an Academy Award for this garbage. Now they're giving some idiot a degree that he didn't earn. It's like Obama getting a Nobel Prize for something he didn't do. Just for breathing and burping in the morning, they gave him a Nobel Prize. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. My friend Doc started in the military when they taught men how to cut the other men's guts out with a bayonet. Now you know who's teaching in the military? Did you see this story? This shocking story that a traitor inside the U.S. military, under the guise of I don't know what, gave away a briefing last week at the Pentagon, so-called Pentagon, of an upcoming military plan to retake Mosul from ISIS. On Thursday, the Pentagon traitors gave defense reporters details about the planned operation in advance. Can anyone in the world explain to me why the person who did that is not arrested for treason or sedition? I was similarly mind-boggled and didn't understand all how this could be part of a strategic plan and what they're talking about, said Gabbard. Listen to this carefully. Representative Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat Hawaii, emphasis on the D, said she was mind-boggled by the so-called Pentagon's giving away the upcoming military plan to retake Mosul, giving out how many brigades will be involved. They outlined a timetable, specifically how many troops, how many brigades, where they're coming from, what they're going to be doing. This is called a spy. This is a spy. And this is what the Pentagon is doing now. They are openly committing sedition against their own military. Now, I want to ask you, what is it going to take for you to understand that Obama is signaling who he is, what he really wants? What is it going to take for the American morons to awaken? Answer, nothing can awaken them. Nothing, 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 nothing. Nothing. There are... Okay, I'll slow down. I swear I'll slow down. I don't know what it's going to take. What, 5 nuclear weapons going off at once in 5 American cities? God forbid, 5 dirty bombs? Then who will they blame? Nixon? They'll blame Nixon. They'll blame Bush. They'll blame Reagan. They'll blame talk show hosts. They'll blame returning American military men. They'll blame everybody but the overt traitors in the White House and around them. Take a look at what they're doing right in front of your eyes. They won't call the Islamic State Islamic, and yet liberal Muslim feminists are saying, are you crazy? Does it take the world blowing up for you to admit that they're Islamic? They're quoting the Holy Quran in everything they're doing, she said, not me. So why is Obama in so-called denial? Because he's not in denial. You think he's in denial. What you don't know is he's playing with you like a cat and a mouse. What, do you think he's stupid? What, he doesn't know it? Jay Johnson doesn't know it? Are you joking? No, never before in history has a nation been so nakedly run by such fine folks as these. No, never before. So now they're outlining a war plan in advance. How many troops, where they're going to be, what day, where they're coming from, what they're going to be doing, what weapons they have. Could anyone explain to me what this is called at any time in human history? Why would the Pentagon do this? Why? Why are they doing this? Why are they not fighting ISIS? Can anyone explain that to me? I can explain it to you. I pretty much have explained it for 20 straight years. How liberalism is a mental disorder, and it's going to kill all of us. I have the answers.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, every once in a while, things happen in radio that are memorable, and what you're about to hear is a memorable radio interview that is unmatched in today's world of talk radio. It's an interview with an American hero before he was assassinated, executed at the shooting range. Back in December of 2011, I had Chris Kyle, author of The American Sniper, on my radio show. And as I said in the last hour, I only had my questions because the other side of the interview was lost, tied up in the courts, even though it's my property, according to the judge, because the American court system is so corrupt, it's still tied up in the courts. And I said, okay, maybe one of my listeners has recorded this. And guess what? Who was the gentleman? Joe Seals? I want to thank Joe Seals for having captured this interview. This is an historic tape. This is Michael Savage interviewing the author of The American Sniper back in December of 2011, Fire.
Joining us right now in the Savage Nation is Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, author of American Sniper, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. military history. Chris Kyle, thank you for your service. You're a true American hero, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's definitely great to talk to you.
What made you decide to write this book?
Actually, I wanted people to understand not only the service members, but the families and all the sacrifices that go in or part of any deployment. You know, when I deployed, my wife was basically a single mother, raising two kids, taking care of all this simple day-to-day life stuff that stresses people out, but now doing it on her own and also having to worry about her husband. And this isn't something unique to me. This is every service member goes to this who is married, or not even married, you know, mother and father. The second reason was Ryan Joe and Mark Lee. They are two true Americans who died for their country, but they didn't get the Medal of Honor. You know, one got a Silver Star, the other one got a Bronze Star, so you don't hear their story. So I want to make sure to get that out. And lastly, I know writing this book is going to give me a voice. I have an agenda. I am an advocate for veterans, and there are different things I want to help these people with. Whether they come home and they're having problems, I want to help them in every facet of their day-to-day life. Or if they don't come home, I want to help take care of the widows.
Would you tell my audience on the Savage Nation some of your best and worst experiences as a combat sniper?
You know, some of the best experiences are just when you see your training takes over and, you know, your guys are just rocking and rolling in the middle of combat and spirits are high and it's getting to be, you know, it's a day-to-day event. You get shot at every day and we're sitting there laughing, making jokes, cracking at each other while you're in the middle of this firefight. That and then just the strong brotherhood that you have with these guys. You have a new family now and it basically becomes your number one family because you're away from your other family so much. And then some of the worst experiences are, you know, being up there feeling helpless, not able to protect a Marine or, you know, a soldier that's down on the ground or even one of your own that dies right next to you.
What made you decide to join the Navy SEALs?
I grew up always wanting to be in the military. Honestly, I wanted to be a Marine. That's back when there wasn't a whole lot of hubbub out there about the SEALs, didn't know hardly anything about them. So I went to go join the Marine Corps, and Marine Corps recruiter was out to lunch. So the Army recruiter pulled me over, told me about the SF, and I thought, okay, that's great, but you had to wait to be an E5 before you could go. I left his office, and then the Navy recruiter pulled me in, said, well, if you want to go right now, you can be a SEAL. So he told me about what they were, and I thought, well, that's awesome. You don't ever hear about these guys. They're out there doing this great job. I want to do that.
Well, I know you can't give us the details, but can you describe what the most dangerous mission you ever were on?
We went to the Army that we were working with, and they were going to be doing a block clearance. They had a city block pre-designated that they were going to go through, clear every house, check for insurgents, for any weapons caches that might be involved. And these guys have been there. They've had our back. They've supported us, getting us in and out in their area that we were working in. So we went to them and said, hey, how about we help you out now? You know, this will free up some of your guys. We'll go in. We'll take a portion of that city block so you're not so stretched thin. And, you know, if you do have extra guys, you don't have to take everybody out. So that's what we were doing. The first building we took down, I went up to the top on the roof to take a sniper overwatch position. Ryan Jobe was standing next to me, covering a different angle. Everything was going flawless. The guys were taking down buildings. I was covering them. When they got to a certain point, took down the next tallest building, they were going to call me down. I was going to go up to the top of their building and just kind of keep leapfrogging there. Before it could get too far, a single shot rang out, and it felt like, you know, debris or something whizzed past my head. We all dove down, which when you dive down, it's a little too late, but natural reaction, jump for cover. As we waited just a few seconds, popped back up, tried to identify the direction and where the shot came from. Maybe we could see someone moving. Ryan was still down. Ryan was a new guy, and he was also my automatic weapons gunner. I hollered at him. I said, hey, quit screwing around. Get up. Let's try to find this guy. Still wouldn't get up. Now I'm thinking, you new guy. Come on. Quit being such a little sissy. Get up. I go to walk over there, and that's when I found out he had been shot in the face. He actually got shot through his rifle because he had it up at the ready. Went through his rifle, came out, hit him in the right eye. It didn't kill him. As I'm trying to apply first aid to him, I call out over the radio, man down, man down. A corpsman comes up there, immediately starts to assess the situation. We decide we got to get him downstairs and extract him. The only problem is the entire stairwell is exposed to the same direction the shot rang out of. As we're getting him ready to move, I throw him up over my shoulder to get him down. Mark Lee stepped up in the exact same spot where Ryan had just been shot and just started mowing down cover fire, trying to protect us as we're taking him down the stairwell. I get halfway down the stairwell, and Ryan starts choking. I set him down. We start to assess the situation again, and then he decides he is not going to allow himself to take anybody else out of the fight. He's going to stand up, and he's going to walk the rest of the way out. And they extracted him. We finished our clearance, went back to our FOB, the forward operating base, and we started assessing the situation as far as what had happened, trying to check out any intel, any chatter that was coming. They came to us and said, look, we've got intel. We know where this guy is, but we need to go in with a clear head. And we all decided, okay, let's do it. We went into this building. It was a two-story house surrounded by other houses. As we went in, immediately we started getting shot at. The house was empty. I'm assuming it was bad intel or a setup. As we're stacking on the stairs to go up and take down the second story, our backs were exposed to a second-story window that the neighboring house, there was an insurgent up there with an AK taking a bead on us. Mark Lee stepped in between us and that guy, raising his rifle to take that guy and also trying to warn us of what the danger was behind us. He never got it out of his mouth. He took a single round and killed him instantly. We continued the clearance of the house. Once it was cleared, we called in the Army. They brought their Bradleys, their tanks, made sure the area was cleared, and extracted us.
Well, what effect did your extremely dangerous job have on your family?
As far as we were told, there's a 95% divorce rate in the teens. And I was not immune to that. My wife and I, several times almost, decided to call it quits. Luckily for me, both of us never gave up on the marriage at the same time. We both, you know, give up at different times, decide this is it. Luckily, and my wife's a super, super strong woman, thank God she decided to stick it out and keep fighting for the marriage. And it was just the constant being gone and, you know, not knowing what was going on. And then all of a sudden finding out, okay, you're here doing this and, you know, scaring the crap out of her. But, you know, luckily we toughed it out. We went through marriage counseling and we had a great counselor. First started going, I was really scared thinking, oh, great, it's going to be a woman and she's going to tell me how wrong and how bad I am. Well, the funny thing, we went in and it was a guy, and I was thinking, okay, little nitwit, he's still going to tell me I'm wrong. First thing he did was he started getting on to my wife saying, okay, you need to work on this. I was sitting there thinking, okay, when can we schedule our next visit? But everything worked out, and we're, you know, no longer in marriage counseling. Getting out definitely caused more anxiety with us. You know, I resented the fact she wanted me out, and it was hard enough trying to go from being a SEAL, not only that being my job, but that's who I became. That was my identity. To now all of a sudden, I'm going to have to be a civilian the rest of my life, trying to deal with that. And luckily, you know, it all worked out, and I got my mind straight. One of the things that helped out was, you know, I started working out again, you know, and that took away a lot of that depression of it's a evil little cycle. You look in the mirror at yourself and find out, you know, you look like a big fat has-been of what you used to be. Then all of a sudden start working out, get back into shape, looking in the mirror like, okay, I can deal with this now. So you start fixing your mind. And, you know, that's one of the programs we've started now is there's a company called Fitco here in Plano that we're starting to put gyms into veterans' homes. People who either don't live close enough to a gym, they can't make it there, or guys who don't want to go to a gym and get stared at because maybe they're disfigured or, you know, they're not in the shape they used to be in, and you got these gym rats in there, muscle heads, and you don't want to have to be in there defending yourself of why you're a fat piece of crap now. So and once you turn guys' lives around by getting their bodies back into shape, it's a lot easier to deal with the stuff going on emotionally.
Where can we read more?
American Sniper. You know, it's, and initially when I was writing the book, I did not want the number in there because I don't want, this book is not to glorify me. This is not about how great I am. This book, when you read it, you should come out of it saying, look at all those tough guys that I was working with. And, you know, it's easy to look like a hero when you're surrounded by them. And there's no way I could ever have done the job I did if those guys weren't standing right there with me. And people like Mark Lee and Ryan Jobe, willing to sacrifice it all just for the love of the brotherhood.
Chris Kyle, Merry Christmas, and thank you for your service to the nation. And thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation. Good luck with your book, American Sniper.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, and again, thank you for having me.
Savage.
Every once in a while, history is made in the world of talk radio. And owing to a loyal listener, Joe Seals, who recorded this interview from 12/22/2011, you just heard a piece of radio history. As you well know, there's a trial going on right now over the American Sniper story. But Chris Kyle is not there to defend himself. And that's because he was executed at a gun range by someone who is right now using the Seinfeld defense, making up stories about being insane to get off the hook. You know, but you listen to this interview and you listen to what this man went through in this one engagement. And all you got to do is ask yourself, how could you ever, ever again trust the American media? How could you ever again trust a fat slob like Michael Moore, who called him a coward? How could you ever again trust the American left, whether they be in the film business or in Hollywood, rather, or in the journalism, who not only denigrate our heroes, but overtly attack them in the comfort of their own bulletproof lives? Just think about it. I'm so proud that I was able to find that for you through a listener, and I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Well, you heard radio history on the Savage Nation just now, and nobody in radio can match what you just heard. And I want to thank you not only for listening, but for what you're going to do. What you're going to do now is you're going to call your friends, email them, I don't know, text them, whatever you have to do, and tell them that one of the only interviews of Chris Kyle on radio that's currently available can be had for free, because I'm not selling you anything. I'm not selling you a floor mat or a hair cream, not right now. No special backstage pass required. It's free. It'll be up on michaelsavage.com later today. Savage interviews American Sniper Chris Kyle from 12:20 to 11. And of course, it's because I want you to tell your friends about my show. But it's also to put to rest the big lie being told by the vermin on the left. I mean, the Solenterites on the left. Like that thing, that creature, Michael Moore, who called him a coward. Who else attacked Chris Kyle? What you should do is make them listen to this interview. Ask them what they would have done on the fire. Ask them how they would have behaved. And ask them, by the way, if they could survive one day without the Chris Kyles of the world whose lives are on the line in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the streets of your town right now, facing the worst scum the world has ever seen. Try to imagine a world right now without the thin blue line. Those wolves would eat you alive, despite what Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein want you to believe, with their false Academy Awards about the victim class. I'm Michael Savage. God bless America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Life is a kick in the pants, and then you die. Welcome to the program. Yeah. Welcome, all you domestic right-wing extremists. Welcome to The Savage Nation, all you infidels. If you just tuned in, you missed something that's historic. I think I'm going to run it again this week, maybe five times. I think we should run it once a day because it's so rare. This comes along once in a career. It's like a long, convoluted reason I even remembered I did the interview. For some reason, I contacted my former publisher at HarperCollins this morning just to talk with him about one of my previous books, Tyranny or Poverty. I don't remember which one. And he said, don't you remember? I said, didn't you send me American Sniper when it first came out to write a blurb? He said, yes, I did. He said, don't you remember you interviewed him? I said, no. He said, yes, you did. He said, let me look at the date. So he looked it up, and it was from December 22nd, 2011. I said, you're joking. I said, I got to run that today. So lo and behold, I call the guys up, and they say, Mike, we only have your side of the interview because the other side's being held up in the courts because of the corrupt legal system we have. Even though you own it, according to the judge, the courts are so corrupt and so backed up. Anyway, I put out a call to my listeners, and lo and behold, one of them, Joe, is it Joe Seal? Joe Seals had it. He had recorded this show. And so we played for the loyal listeners of the Savage Nation my interview with Chris Kyle, the American Sniper, in the last hour. And, of course, it's important to me as a talk show host to have something unique that no one else has. But in addition to that, the story itself touched so many people. I just received this email from a very discriminating listener. And he said, Michael, I haven't seen the film, and I find most of the media coverage of Chris Kyle, the American Sniper, opaque at best. The interview you just ran was the most revealing, insightful, and impacting summary of the Kyle story. And in his own words and his own voice to boot, absolutely amazing and riveting, rare radio indeed. And so we're going to put it up on michaelsavage.com. It may be up already. And it's free. You don't have to buy a toupee to get it. Nothing. No mouthwash. You don't have to pay money to get to a backstage. I'm not a member of any cartel that you have to join to get into the... You just go to michaelsavage.com. There's the MP3. Listen to it. And see, it's there now. It's up there right now. And you know what? I want you to understand the danger our men are in every day of their lives. Not only because of the rules of engagement that they face, where they before they pull a trigger, they have to get out a notepad and say who they're shooting because of George Bush and Barack Obama. These are the best and the brightest men in the country. No, it's not those at the Academy Awards who cried about their victimhood last night. No, it wasn't them. Now, the best and the brightest are over there for us, and many of them are now over here for you in the streets of America. And without them, you'd be torn apart by the wolves in this country and by the wolves who are lying in wait for us in every state of the Union except Alaska. And we don't even know if it's not even Alaska. Maybe it's too cold for them. I don't know. Maybe they don't like the cold. All right, so that opens up calls. I haven't taken any calls, but maybe one or two this program on the Savage Nation. Again, if you want to hear this rare, historic radio interview, it's free. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's on michaelsavage.com. While you're there, you may want to sign up for the free newsletter. I don't know. But anyway, it's there. Spread it around. Send it around. Send it around. Understand what the power of radio is. One other note. Remember that gentleman whose dog was taken away from him by the military, either by accident? Remember the war dog story? Does anyone remember the story? Raise your hand if you remember the war dog story. I got his van back, right? I mean, he got his dog back, sorry. I bet you don't even remember that story. And Wikipedia is so biased that they never put the good stuff up. But if you remember that story, and I have a picture of the man on my website, I pray to God it's still there. It is. Savage helps reunite soldier with canine partner. Remember that touching story, that wonderful giant of a young man who got wounded so severely in over there in Afghanistan, got shot up so badly, Specialist Brent Grommet, remember him? Well, I reunited Grommet and Maddie, and I made a promise on this show that when he got out, we'd help buy him a van. He's a big guy. He has, you know, he has no money. He's a military guy with a small pension. So I just donated $15,000 to him. He hasn't received it yet. He's still trying to get everything else together to buy the van. And I just want you to know that when I say something on this show, I live up to my word. I didn't have to do that. I could have just shot my mouth off like many people in radio do and then not followed it up. But I've helped many a soldier. And I have another case came to me today, incidentally. Remember I helped somebody who had been given a 10-year sentence, a brave American Ranger? This rotten, stinking brass in the U.S. military put him away for 10 years. This Army Ranger for doing his job in Iraq. Remember that story? Remember he shot someone to try to kill him? The guy tried to take his gun away and he shot him. They put him in Leavenworth for 10 years. Well, I raised awareness. I raised money. He just got out 5 years away for no reason. Do you know that this rotten, stinking leadership in the military treats the rats at Gitmo better than they do the men who they put into Leavenworth? Do you know that? Do you know that in Gitmo, they get halal meals, they get every treatment under the sun, and they make our boys rot in a cold dungeon at Fort Leavenworth? This is a country that's been turned upside down. No, not by Barack Obama. It started with George Bush. Make no mistake about it. You make no mistake about it. It started under Bush. That's when the rules of engagement became impossible. And there's an old adage, he who hesitates is lost. Well, in the military, or in any combat situation, whether it's the police on the streets of your town or city, he who hesitates is dead, not lost. And now the PC lunatics want the cops to take a deep breath in a training session before they decide to react to someone who's threatening someone else or them. Can you imagine the world we're living in? Incidentally, if you'd like to make a donation to help Brett with the van and replenish some of the legal fund, go ahead, be my guest. This came from the legal fund. It's up on michaelsavage.com. You can send your donation to that address if you wish, and we'll use it for the defense of the next guy who's rotting in Leavenworth. Once I find his name. By the way, I'm meeting the real doc today after the show to take a look at some of his combat pictures and help him with a book that he's going to be writing soon. And, you know, I want you to understand this is a very big commitment of mine. And then you want, many of you want to help. That's why I'm asking you to help, because many of you don't know what to do. You're dying to help and you don't know where to go. So there you go. I guarantee you it's not spent on me. That's all I can guarantee you. It's not used for air travel to an event about the military. I've never used a dime of it. I haven't bought myself a hamburger with it. Never. Ever. Not one dime. So let's take some calls. This has been one of those rare days. I'm so jacked up right now. I've been suffering severe allergies for a couple of weeks where I'm almost debilitated. I can hardly function. My brain is shot. My body's shot. I was in bed all day yesterday. I live in an area where pollen comes down off a hill, a mountain, with heavy winds. And the pollen is so thick that if you leave your car outside for an hour, 10 minutes, it turns green. Billions of grains of these pine pollen. You could kill you. Can you imagine what it did to the air cleaner in my Hellcat? It was coughing yesterday. I needed to take it in. I needed to take my car into a allergist. But I just drank an energy drink, I swear to God. I feel better than I have. I tried every allergy pill under the market. I don't like drugs. I tried them. They didn't work. They made me feel worse. The energy drink, I feel better than ever. My nose is clear. I'm breathing again. Unbelievable to me. The show feels good. I'm laughing. I'm smiling. I'm talking more than I have in weeks. I feel good. Life is good. People are wonderful. Let's take one quick call on the Savage Nation because I haven't given you a chance, really. Line number six, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael. Hello?
Yes, yes. Name, station, topic.
Hi, this is Lou from Queens, WABC in New York City.
And your topic.
I just wanted to comment you so much for the piece that you just played. I'm so grateful you did to give a tribute to Christopher Kyle, who served four tooties of dur in Iraq, who is a Silver Star, Bronze Star medalist, who was rejected by the Marines and Army because he had pins in his arm and was finally accepted in SEAL Team 6 in order to serve in Iraq. And it's amazing that the film about him is the most successful war movie ever made in history, and has been totally snubbed by the Academy Awards.
Well, of course, they glorified sickos last night. Everyone was a victim, and they gave this a token Academy Award. But what do you expect from those idiots who run Hollywood? They hate this country. They hate the country to its core. They're no different than the president.
Thank you, sir. And also, I might note...
They're no different than Obama. What do you think he goes there? You know, birds of a feather. You think he's any different than Katzenberg, and Weinstein? They're his best friends. Are you yourself a military guy?
No, but much of my family was. And
imagine last night at the Oscars, they give an award, and she gives a woman's rights speech about it. The women are oppressed in America. The most woman-centric nation on planet Earth. Another award about suicide and being different. Another one that says Ferguson is like Selma all over again. Another one about the disrespect of Mexican immigrants. Another one about people who are sick. But the one movie about heroes that earned more money than all of the other rotten, stinking art pieces put together, they gave a token award for the best sound editing. You hear this? Boy, thank you, Weinstein. You'll go down in history as really a great American. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
To every woman who gave birth, to every taxpayer and citizen of this nation, we have fought for everybody else's equal rights.
Boy, does she believe her lie. Well, this one must have practiced this in front of a mirror. Women are oppressed in America. You hear the big lie? It's repeated. See, it's all part of the Hillary for president scheme. The most woman-centric nation on planet Earth is the United States of America. There are civil rights laws. And she's going on crying over women, how they're oppressed here, without mentioning slavery, rape, the forcible rape of young girls in Iraq. Nothing, not one word from these frauds. So I feel like I'm a man living in my own world. I feel like I'm living in another world. Play, I'm 1,000 miles away. I feel like I'm living in another planet. I certainly don't live in Planet Hollywood. Oh, I go down there and I look at the fools. I mean, I enjoy sitting in an Italian restaurant watching these morons. I feel like I'm in Brobbingdang. All right, turn it off. I feel like I'm Gulliver's Travels, like Savage's Travels, when I sit in a restaurant in Beverly Hills having a meal. Brobbingdang. I'm visiting Brobbingdang. It's another universe. They walk around like the world is safe, that there's no threats. No one will bother them. No, I think they walk with a plum. They walk in the front of a car. The car will stop because they went to colleges where they blew a whistle if somebody threatened them. So they walk around the streets. There's no threats. They live in another universe. Then they make movies that attack America while America's being attacked, celebrating weakness wherever you turn, not celebrating strength. And the one movie that celebrates strength and heroism, they reject. They give it a token award. You hear? It's the best sound editing. I cannot believe the mind. How does a Harvey Weinstein? How does Geffen get up in the morning? How does he look at himself in the mirror? How does a guy with a 350-foot yacht who's been made a multi-billionaire through his music and the production of movies, how does he hate a country like this? How does Katzenberg, how do they do it? I don't understand their minds. I don't. One of these days I may do a video inside the mind of a psycho-liberal, and I will try to show what rattles around between the ears every morning. From the morning they first open their eyes in the morning, what enters their head? How shall I hate America today? What can I produce that will make more Muslims in the world hate Christians? Let's see. How do I show women are oppressed in the most women-supporting nation on earth? Let's see. How do I weaken the youth even further? What can I do? Let's see. We had them smoking cigarettes in the last 15 movies I did, and then we did an anti-cigarette campaign. Oh, I got it. Well, every movie has a gun in it. We'll do an anti-gun movie for the young boys. We'll show that they're unpatriotic if they learn how to use it. I never saw anything like it. That must be before they get up and shave, before the first line. That's before they detox with a heroin enema. I don't know what they use. I don't know what they use down there. What are they on? I don't get it. I don't understand their mind. How can a nation have been so good to them and they hate the country so much? How can they do this? I don't understand it. I know it exists, though. It's a parallel universe. And I'll be spending more time in L.A., by the way. Yeah, I'm going to Brobbingdang on a regular basis. Now I live in one of the worst places on the planet, in the Bay Area. Hypocrites by the dozen. Hypocrites by the pound, by the kilogram. Wherever you turn, hippos. Hypocrites. How do they hate the country? I don't understand it. How do they attack patriots and support vermin who hate, Solenterates who hate the country? I got to stop using the word vermin. It's too frightening to liberals. Oh, did I tell you the story? So I'm in another Italian restaurant last week, local, chain joint. Not bad. It's getting better because whatever. I got to be careful I don't get the guy in trouble. Anyway, table of eight next to me. All guys, one women. They're having a party, and I had my dog with me, so they look at him, and they didn't know who I was, of course. What kind of dog is that? Poodle. Oh, very nice. So a guy comes over. He's sort of the major, running the show for having a party. Big guy, strong looking, and he's there, and he says, are you Michael Savage? He says, oh, my God. He said, I recognize you through your dog. And one word leads to the other, and he said, well, we're having a party here, but they're all liberals except me. And he said, I got to tell you something. He said, I'm a gay man. And he said, I love your show. He said, I started listening to you in 2000. I hated you. He said, I hated you. I couldn't listen for more than four minutes in a row without getting hyper. I would get a hyper attack. He said, then I started to realize that you're actually on my side with what's going on with the radical Islamists. I said, well, thanks for the kind words. I hope it's not too late to awaken some of your friends.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
We're living through very, very bad times, very dangerous times. Not imagined by the right wing, no. Very dangerous times. The enemy within right now has a lock grip on the media, a lock grip on Hollywood, and a lock grip on most of America's mind. And yet, some of us are still holding out. Not only on the radio, I'm not turning myself into Paul Revere. I'm talking about you. You're holding out. You know what's going on. Anyone who listens to talk radio as regularly as you do, those of you who tune in every day to the Savage Nation, you know what's going on. You know the enemy within is more brazen than ever. If they would give away future war plans to the enemy, to ISIS, before attacking, what does that say they're saying to the world? They're laughing at you. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at John McCain. They're laughing at the Republicans. They're saying we can do anything we want. Let me prove it. I'll even give away future battle plans and nothing will happen. What's going to happen? We own the media. We own the Stooges. We own Wolf Blitzer. We own all of them. They're like the reindeer on Blitzer, on Santa Maria, whatever. I don't even know the reindeer's name. On Blitzer, on Cooper, on all of them. They're like reindeer to the American left. Anyway, and they're rats and they're evil. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, probably one of the lowest forms of human life, it just came out, planned to blackmail Barack Obama as being anti-woman and anti-Semitic if he tried to replace her in 2013. This shows you the level of what they're willing to do to their own kind. It's exactly what the communists did to each other. They imprisoned each other. They executed each other. They put them in the gulag. According to Politico, Wasserman Schultz was going to use the anti-woman, anti-Semitic slur against Obama if he dared consider replacing her as chairwoman. Now you can imagine what they'll do to the ballless Republicans. That's all. Move on. Next thing. Next case. 855-407-28. I got so much sound I didn't use. The Kennel Show. Let me hear the Kennel announcer. I love his voice. I just want to...
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the seven group winners competing for the best in show at the 139th Westminster Dog Show.
Beautiful.
The winner of the working group, Portuguese
Thank
Water.
I just like the voice. And the... Maybe they could use him to introduce Hillary Clinton at the DNC as the winner of the working group. The working women's group. She can make believe she's a worker who just came from an ice cream factory line and that she was broke. You don't know who she is, never heard of her, never. She struggled, she's oppressed. White men hate women, they suppress the women, they suppress the women's vote. But she took time out from the factory, from Rosie the Riveter. She's now Rosie the Riveter. Hillary Clinton will be introduced as Rosie the Riveter with that voice. Oppressed, the oppressive white male has kept her down all her life. Not her husband, of course, who's been as clear as the driven snow, but the Republicans have kept it down. And if only you'll vote for her, the world will be a safer place. And all the college girls will vote. Wait to see the eyes. It's like the true believers in the early days of the 1930s in Germany. I never saw anything like the brainwashing. I don't know what it's going to take. American Sniper grosses $320 million domestically. And these other art pieces, Birdman, Boyhood, Imitation Game, Whiplash, together, they didn't earn the same as that movie. Well, Savage, that shows you that it's not about money. It's about quality. Yeah, right. Sure, a woman's rights speech in the most woman-centric nation on planet Earth. Another one crying about suicide and being different. Because I was different. I almost hung myself. Another one, Ferguson is now the March on Washington. The Civil War again. And then this Nisaratu, whatever his name is, about immigrants and not respected Mexican immigrants. You hear this? The government's owned by them. A government that is hijacked by the Mexican immigrant lobby, La Raza, now suddenly is supposed to feel, oh, they're oppressed. A judge just said, no, you can't grant amnesty. And Obama said, I'll go around it anyway. So who's oppressed? We the voters, we the people, we the taxpayer, or the illegal alien from Mexico? I'll let you decide. Tell me who owns the presidency. We the people or the illegal alien? Who owns the government? We the people or the Islamist? Who owns the government? Let me ask you a question. Well, that's the world according to me. Look at the topics. America overwhelmingly goes to see a movie about an American hero, but Hollywood gives their top award to a movie about themselves. And the other topics, an abusive music teacher, a man dealing with ALS, and how it affects his love life. A genius persecuted because he's gay, that's another winner. The difficulty of adolescence, that's another winner. It's astounding to me. And that's why the ratings were in the garbage. Down from last year, from 43 million in 2014, all the way down to 34 million this year. So people tuned in and tuned out. I went to a restaurant last night. I figured it would be empty because nobody would be watching. I mean, everybody would be home. The roads were empty. It was like a neutron bomb had been dropped on the highways. So I figured I'd go early. I'd have an early Sunday dinner in a local Italian restaurant, like a blue-collar joint. No tablecloths there. You know, very 50s. The food is unbelievable. Big portions. They don't measure them on a scale. But you can never get in. Because people know value, and they feel comfortable there. No one puts on airs. No one makes believe they're a movie star. Every other restaurant, everyone's a star behind their car. Oh, sitting there with the head back, you know. Very important people in Marin County. Hey, everyone's important and rich. Oh, yeah. One deal a second. Everyone a deal a second. But this joint's like a working Joe's joint. And food is enormous portions. So I figured there'd be no one there. I go in there slammed in the doorway I never saw anything like it. Luckily, you can't get a reservation. The owner was nice enough to me, got me a little two-top. And the waiter was a dignified guy, so I figured twice a year I have a steak. Because I'm Mr. You know, I watch my diet, so I'm still living. Don't laugh at anyone who tells you not to. So I have watched it, big vitamin guy, herbs, yeah. Get back to me when they're my age. You'll see how smart all the guys are who eat burgers and fries day and night and boast about it. They'll be dead of a heart attack as sure as I'm standing here. But nevertheless, I decided, I didn't eat meat for 20 years. I started again because I need the energy. And in allergy season, I can't touch anything with fins. I just can't. In allergy season, anything with fins, I'm almost dead. My mind, I can't do it. Running, sneezing. It's worse than peanuts on an airplane for a peanut allergy person. I can't do the fish, the fin job. I can do udders, yes. Anything with an udder, I can eat. Robert likes that. So last night I went out for some mammalian food. I went in early. I said, look, I know it's going to take 30 minutes, I said to the waiter as he dashed over. I said, give me the New York steak. It's $31. It was the best steak around. And okay, so I put it in. No salt and pepper, I had to remind them. But while I was waiting, I had two martinis without vermouth because I can't even drink wine this time of year, nor beer. Sick. Because there's no reactive chemicals in pure vodka. I must tell you that. You just got to know if you're a drinker, you want to drink at night. I'm just telling you. The way Savage does it is it's a vodka with a little soda in it and one piece of lime. I happen to love lime. I love sucking the lime at the end, like when there's a little bit of alcohol left. And what I loved about this waiter is that when he was taking away the first drink, when I gave him the snap, another one like this, right, that thing, like a, he says to me, he grabbed the glass, there was like a drop on the bottom, and he went, you finished? He pointed at me. I said, no, give it to me. I just slurped down the lime juice with the vodka. It was so good. I slept better. And now I'm on an energy drink, like a recovery. I never saw anything like it. I don't know what I'm going to do after the show. I don't know where to go. I know where I'm going. I'm meeting my friend Doc. I'm going to help him with something, and he's going to show me those war pictures. I'm going to help him do a book. So I do new things in my life. I'm constantly reinventing myself. I'm painting again. They're not great. I know what they are. They're childish, cartoon-like. But they're pretty interesting. And I thought about something over the weekend. Oh, the mic almost fell out of my hand. I may auction off my original watercolors, and all the money will go into the scholarship fund, but I'm not ready to do it. I know there are collectors out there who are going to know that in 20 years they're going to be worth a fortune, and there are people who are going to buy them, but I don't know if I want to do it yet. I'm going to do it all for the scholarship fund because I announced Friday that one of the legacy things that I'm going to leave behind is the Savage Conservative Scholarship Fund. So that kids could get forever. I mean, I don't know how long forever is. I just want it to go on and on and on. Because I'm getting essays from kids and from their parents. Sometimes, you know, the person who's running the scholarship fund doesn't let me know who's applying. They're sent by code, so I'm not biased. There's no last names. But every once in a while, I see a letter from a parent about their daughter who's going to apply. I tell you, it can rip your guts out. You have no idea how people are struggling in this country. I mean, if you watch the Academy Awards, everyone's a movie star. Oh, yeah, about another $18 million. Oh, yeah. 18 million houses and cars. Oh yeah, we have everything. Everyone's Ray Donovan, zipping from event to event, dinner to dinner. Money's nothing, it's garbage. Just throw it around like it's nothing. People are struggling in this country, you know, and kids who love America are struggling more than those who hate America. Because there are scholarships for kids who hate America. There are scholarships for illegal aliens. There are scholarships for victims of every kind. But go try to find a scholarship for a conservative kid. That's why I set it up. The Savage Conservative Scholarship Fund. And I got hundreds of them. I don't know how, I can't give everyone the money. But we're trying to raise the money and the awareness. So when the time comes, if we're ready for it next year, I don't need any money for it now. It's all coming out of my side. When we need it, we'll put out an appeal and you can donate. Right now, I don't need it. We'll give out the scholarship fund closes March 31st. And then we announce it on July 4th, who wins. And we'll have the young people on. They can read the essays or I'll read them with them. And then I'm going to start another round of them. God willing, I'll be here next year, 2016. It's already 2015. I know the year already. You say 15. It's like beware the guns of August. You know, it's like the guns of August again. It's like World War One all over again. We're in World War III. Yeah, they're everywhere. ISIS is expanding like a cancer on the globe. And they're giving awards on victims. That's all. They don't know what war. What war? Whoa, what Islam? Oh, Islam. Yeah, you're against Islam. Oh, you must be like anti-Semitic, huh? Oh, it's like you're attacking, yeah. Oh, you hate minorities, huh? That's why you don't like members of ISIS, huh? Yeah, that's what they think. You don't know how sick they are. You don't know. You don't know the depth of illness amongst that crowd. That's why they take these treatments every morning. They're cleansing. Every morning it's a cleansing experience. Their minds are so filthy. Their lifestyle is so warped that they're all into cleansing. The next day after sleeping with 16 people in an orgy, they're doing a cleansing bath. A cleansing this, a cleansing that, a detox. Why do their soul is so poisonous, toxic rather. They think that by taking a certain treatment that they're going to cleanse their soul. It doesn't work that way. The world just doesn't work that way. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take for us to wake them up. And I don't know if we can do it before it's too late. I don't know whether it's going to be possible to save the country. I don't know. Some days I'm optimistic and some days I am not. But when I see the Defense Department, the Pentagon, giving away a battle plan in advance to the enemy, for the whole enemy to see, as they did last week. That's right. Last week they announced, here's where we're going to attack, here's how many brigades, here's the equipment, and nothing happened to them. If that had been done during a more patriotic, sane time, whoever did that would have been arrested for sedition. Probably the firing squad for this. No, but no, it's normal. And the next day they justify it. They're so laughing at us that after committing an act of treason, they laugh in your face and say, that wasn't treason. That's like the joke, a woman comes home. The Obama administration is so corrupt and so brazen right now that they commit treason right in front of your eyes. And when you say it's treason, they say, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? That's all. It's like the old joke. It's a terrible joke. It's not funny. This went around in the 70s. A woman comes home, finds her husband in bed with another woman, right? So the husband looks up. He has such control over. He says, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? That's Barack Obama to America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Loser now will be the win. Look at Barack Obama. How's that working out for America now that the loser is the win? How's that, Bobby? Prophetic, yes, but it's really working out well for America. Giving away troop plans, yeah, really good. Flooding America with illegal aliens, breaking the bank, printing money. It's really working out great. Spying on every American, hating patriots. Unbelievable. How's that worked out, Bobby? The loser is now the win. Really good. See, they don't figure out what the results or the consequences, rather, of their predictions. Yeah, now the loser is the win. How's that worked out for America? Well, anyway, as the show comes to a conclusion, I want to remind you that this interview with the deceased or executed Chris Kyle, the true American sniper, I believe it's the only interview that I know of on tape and radio. I could be mistaken. He could have been on some other show. I don't know. But I'm proud to tell you that one of my listeners found it for me from 12/22/11, and that's before the American sniper was killed at that gun range. And I think the interview is worth your listening. It's free. It's on michaelsavage.com. I invite you to review it after the show. And all you got to do is just go to michaelsavage.com and download it and listen. It's unbelievable. So here are the topics I've covered today to show you the Persian miniatures that I produce for you on a daily basis. Oscar is dead. The Westminster Dog Show. The assassin story, where little dogs are better to protect you than a big dog. The Chris Kyle interview. The Sharpton shakedown. Cops in New York City being instructed to close their eyes and take a deep breath when confronted by a murderer. My friend Doc. Food story, seagulls, Obama's insanity. Women Muslim journalists giving us a warning that they are Islamic. Bad commencement speakers, Pentagon traitors, Chris Kyle interview, soldier and dog, allergies, Hollywood idiots and Obama, gay fan, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, her ruthlessness, dog show announcer for Hillary Clinton, best picture nominees, my steak, my vodka, and the Savage Scholarship. All this in one show. Now, if I haven't given you your money's worth in the last 3 hours, I really don't know how to do it better than I've done it today. I'd rank this as one of the better shows in a long time. My energy is very high thanks to the recovery drink I just had. You can throw away all your allergy pills. I need 3 bike rides after this show. Normally I take a nap. I go into a dark room the minute I get off the air for 20, 30 minutes. Now I'm going to go on 3 bike rides. I don't know what to do with myself. I need another evening show. I got to get a night job. I have a day job. It's called the Savage Nation. I need to find a night job. All right. Anyway, God bless America. I'll be back tomorrow with God's will and your listenership. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.